Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach. I pastor Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California. And your brain masseur, get ready for your brain massage.
The battle for America is on.
Happy Easter. Let's clear up something right now, shall we? The word Easter has no relationship to any Roman pagan goddess called Astarte, or Astarte, or whatever they come up with. Anyway, the English word Easter comes from an old English word, Oster, or I don't know how to pronounce it, but that one. It's related to old High German word, Ostern, and the root of the word means east or dawn, the rising of the sun type thing, you know, and it was associated with the rising light and the new life of spring. The resurrection narrative emphasizes the tomb was found empty very early while it was yet dark into the early rising light of the day. Christians began using this word very early in church history to identify the celebration of Christ's resurrection as distinct from the Passover. Now, I want to invite you to join us this Sunday for our Easter service, 1310 West Bedarabia Road in Santa Maria, California. We begin at 9:30 a.m. for the interesting examination of Christ's appearances after he arose, and then at 10:45, we will gather for the Easter message, the historical political impact of Easter. Take a break to enjoy lunch together and then reconvene for our final Easter service for the day, where I'll speak to Trump's Easter message and how the Easter message shapes our future as individuals, families, churches, and, well, the nations of the whole world. My friends, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
A few items in the news we cannot ignore, all right? Our hearts go out to the family, and our prayers go up to God on behalf of the family of the 18-year-old Sheridan Gorman, who was murdered by an illegal alien in this country from Venezuela. This monster was assaulting her and some friends, and they ran, and he shot Sheridan in the back. I mean, Lake and Riley Revisited. This is not going to stop so long as Democrats hold power in America. Bondi goes bye-bye. The question for some is not why, but why it took so long. Sorting through the scuttlebutt, if we reduce speculation to the highest probabilities, we can rule out that Trump was dissatisfied with her record in reducing crime in the United States of A. Lowest murder rate since 1900, and possibly the lowest murder rate ever. She initiated the first ever terrorism convictions against members of Antifa, takedowns of domestic and transnational gangs, the capture of over 90 cartel figures, and 24 favorable Supreme Court rulings. Bongino often encourages a spreadsheet approach in assessing performance. Not sure how to weight these notable accomplishments against the disappointing and sloppy, almost comical handling of the Epstein files debacle. I mean, right from the beginning all the way to the end of that whole thing, Trump has to date not framed the move as a firing. He has praised her as an effective attorney general, leading a, quote, massive crackdown in crime, end quote, and saying she is, quote, a great American patriot and a loyal friend, end quote, and framed it as a move by Bondi to transition into a private sector job. Behind the scenes, rumors say, and some of Trump's truth posts suggest, increasing frustration with Bondi moving too slowly on securing justice against those who violated an American citizen's constitutional rights by weaponizing the government against him. And yeah, I know that's Trump, but that doesn't make any difference. He is an American, and that unholy trinity of Obama, Hillary, and Biden hated and attempted to destroy him by violating that American's inalienable rights protected by our Constitution, and don't think for one moment they won't do the same thing to you. Or they wouldn't have done the same thing to you It does not matter if it was Trump with regard to the crimes that were committed against him, and it does not matter if it's Trump with regard to seeking justice against these criminal perpetrators. It's about justice. Many of us felt she was dragging her feet on this matter and some others, but we don't know what is involved in building a case. What we do know is that if roles were reversed, Trump and everyone remotely connected with him would have already been arrested and perp walked before the nation. Now, I trust Bongino, and while he had some disagreements with Bondi about some things, and while I might think that it is, or it seems somewhat possible, likely that these things are included somewhere in Trump's final decision, that's speculation. And while many think it's Epstein-related, she had no hand in the plea deal Epstein secured from the attorney's office for the Southern District of Florida, because she was not in that position as the Attorney General of Florida at the time that deal occurred. Also, we all remember Trump becoming suddenly uninterested in releasing the files. Well, that was weird, thinking they had been poisoned. But then reversed again and called for the full release. Okay, well, therefore, we can't know for absolute certainty whether the Epstein file issue was being handled politically one way and then another way privately. We just don't know. Are the files fully released? Even today, we continue to wait for all the files to be released. For example, regarding the nefarious flight logs, not all the logs have been released. The complete FBI investigation files, quote unquote, have not been released. Some are classified, some redacted, some withheld to protect victims or ongoing investigations. Third-party names are withheld to avoid defamation suits arising from privacy violations. And so, you know, it's the muddy waters issue that fomented so much public frustration and speculation over Kennedy's assassination. Now, on that point, by the way, I've got some interesting photos to share with you around the anniversary of that horrible event. Murky waters leave room for all sorts of imaginative filling into the blanks and the construction of theories that explain disparate, disconnected, and even contradictory facts, or data points. The big problem is that, more often than not, the investigator's bias interferes with the process and moves them to manipulate the data points so that they form an image of their choosing. Now, here are a couple of plausible theories. The Truth Post, in which it is clear Trump was calling for more aggressive action from his Department of Justice, were honest expressions of frustration, I think. And whatever measures were taken out of the public eye did not produce the results our totally results-orientated president desired. And so he finally decided to make a change. Or he wants to do something that will require someone else at the helm of the DOJ while also needing to redeploy Bondi into the private sector to, as she put it, continue advocating and pushing forward the MAGA agenda. Now, I understand that serious stuff is coming down. At least that's what I read from Mongino. And perhaps it will require a special skill set to follow through to complete that mission. I don't know. She was frustrating me, I'll admit it. Sometimes it's not a conspiracy at all. It's something far more mundane and simple. Incompetence. Someone said you should never contrive a conspiracy to explain something that can be explained as incompetence. Now, maybe Bondi simply got promoted above her competence level. The old Peter principle kicked in. In every organization, employees get promoted to their level of incompetence. And that's where they usually stop and then stay, eventually destroying the organization. Well, not in Trump's administration. I don't know what the deal was. Think about some of that. Russia wants to help Trump resolve the Iran problem? Really? The problem dealing with Russia or with Iran under the Ayatollahs is that you're negotiating with people who have a culture of lying. They have zero compunction about lying to their enemies, especially. I'm sure Trump understands that he is not negotiating with people of good faith. And in that situation, he knows. The only deal you can make is one that is enforceable by force. Okay, let's talk about the political significance of Easter for a moment. No one should suppose that the Easter event had no serious political ramifications. It shook the politics of the synagogue and of Rome. Herod was already superstitious about Jesus being John the Baptist come back from the grave to haunt him. The political powers of Jerusalem attempted to beat, jail, and kill believers into submission to their demand that the believers would not preach in the name of Jesus. They didn't like this business, saying the man they killed was alive. After Rome destroyed Jerusalem and razed the temple and scattered the Jews from their land in AD 70, it was not too long later that Nero contrived to turn the Roman sword against the Christians. It said he lit Rome on fire and fiddled as it burned, blaming the Christians in order to stoke a bloody persecution against them. He was already lining the road to his palace with Christians nailed to crosses. Now, that was Nero, or was it Diocletian? Well, yeah, I haven't got time to go check that out. Read Fox's Book of Christian Martyrs for multiple accounts of the assault of Rome on the Christians. Read Henry Lee's A History of the Inquisition of the Middle Ages for a record of the diabolical persecution of the Roman Catholic against the Christians during the Dark Ages. All of this was political persecution. It was all an effort to control speech and to control people under the thumb and the tyrannical control of the governing bodies in order to protect their power over the people. The Roman Republic objected to the idea that the people could conceive of themselves as having any authority beyond theirs, a power to which they, the rulers, were accountable. The idea that Jesus is the prince over all the kings of the earth threatened their autocratic rule over the people. The Roman Catholic system usurped Christ's place in the lives of the people and resented any mere believer having access to the Word of God to read it for themselves, to discover that no man can take Christ's place in the lives of men or saints. There is no pope who can command the knee of any man to bow or lips to kiss their ring or swear allegiance as to them as the head of the church. No pope and no king or Prince Charles of England can take the title as head of the church. That belongs exclusively to Jesus Christ. And those papists could not have people going around thinking that they were under Christ directly without them, and could go directly to Christ without their assistance, and believe in God according to their own conscience, and be in their own right a priest and a king unto God. It's always an authority thing, and it always comes down to denying Christ's authority and subjecting men to the authority of a man. It's something called the Nicolaitans, and Jesus said that he hates the deeds and the doctrines of the Nicolaitans. It is satanic to deny Christ's exclusive privilege to rule the earth, to be as he is prince over the kings of the earth. And my friend, Easter is all about that. It's all about the declaration that Christ is king, conqueror of death and of hell. So let's take a peek at the relationship between Easter and the kingdoms of men through the prophetic implications of the geopolitical realignment unfolding in the world right now in front of our eyes. We'll begin with what's happening in NATO. NATO unraveling? Trump is simply asking, requiring, really, the NATO nations to step up to their responsibilities and act like dutiful allies instead of like freeloading dependents. Will Rutte bring Trump to NATO or bring NATO to Trump? What is the significance of developments in NATO relative to the Fourth Kingdom? And what has this to do with Easter? Daniel 7 and the resurrection of Christ, the King? Listen, buckle up, folks. Here we go. What's the Fourth Kingdom? When God created man, male and female, he formed the kingdom of man. He gave to mankind the earth and all its resources. God described the dominion he gave to man as including the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, the beasts that crawled upon the earth, and all the herbs and trees and so on that grow from the soil. All of that was given to man. God was king over this kingdom, and this was the kingdom of man. He warned man that the wages of sin would be death. Satan tempted man to sin, and death came into God's creation. God removed man from Eden, but continued to rule over him as king over the kingdom of man as he began working out his plan of redemption. And Satan began working out his plan to thwart the plan of redemption. God had instructed mankind to spread out over all the earth and to multiply. About 100 years after the flood, a mighty hunter rose among men with great power and influence. His name was Nimrod, and he founded a city, and the city was Babel. which later became Babylon. Nimrod united mankind against God and led them to build a tower to heaven using synthetics. Man made bricks for stone and slime for mortar, particularly pointed out in the text. This usurper of God's place in the lives of men commanded men to disobey God's command to spread out over the earth. God destroyed their tower, scattered mankind all over the earth, dividing them by language groups, and they went and followed Nimrod's example, appointing over themselves kings and forming separate nations, and thusly did the kingdom of man become the kingdoms of men. God called out of the nations a man named Abram, from whose seed he would form his own nation, his kingdom, and give to that nation the kingdom, what he gave to man. That is, the power to rule under God over the resources of the earth and hold his sword. This kingdom would hold God's sword of vengeance against the evildoers of the earth and would execute under him divine judgment when needed to restore justice. He formed the nation Israel from Abram's seed, who became Abraham, by the way, a father of many nations, and gave to them the kingdom, including God's sword. He sent them into the land of the Amorites, Canaan, to execute his judgment upon them because their iniquity had reached heaven, he said. The population of the planet was divided into Israel and the rest of the world, called the Gentiles. God used Israel to reveal himself and to reach out to the Gentiles. Over a period of about 800 years, Israel held the kingdom under God until, because of iniquity, God removed the kingdom from Israel and gave it to the Gentiles. The first Gentile king to possess the kingdom after it was taken from Israel was Nebuchadnezzar, who was king of Babylon. God described the kingdom he gave to Nebuchadnezzar as encompassing all the dominion that he had given to Adam and through Adam to mankind. Nebuchadnezzar ruled over the creatures of the sea, the air, the land, and also God gave him his sword. At this time, God went out of his way to make it clear to Nebuchadnezzar and all mankind that God rules in the kingdom of man and gives it to whomever he chooses. He mentions that four times in one chapter in the book of Daniel, chapter 4. A major point was made of this truth at the time the kingdom was taken from Israel and given to the Gentiles. Nebuchadnezzar dreamed of an image with a head of gold, an upper torso of silver, belly and thighs of brass, legs of iron, feet of iron and clay, and 10 toes of iron and clay. Daniel interpreted the dream. The golden head was Nebuchadnezzar, and his kingdom was Babylon. This is Iraq. The silver upper torso was Cyrus, and his kingdom was Persia. This is Iran. The brass belly and thighs represented Grecia. Its first king was Alexander, but his kingdom was broken into four lesser kingdoms, Greece, Turkey, Lebanon, Syria, and Egypt. The iron legs represent the fourth kingdom, the clay with the iron feet representing the division of this kingdom to be partly strong and partly broken, and the 10 toes representing 10 kings that would align themselves together at the time of the end of the fourth kingdom. Now, the point of the dream is that the kingdom that God took from Israel and gave to Nebuchadnezzar would pass to 3 other kingdoms before the end would come. It would pass from Babylon to Persia, from Persia to Grecia, and then from Grecia to an unnamed kingdom. In the Bible, it's only called the fourth kingdom. What is the fourth kingdom? All these kingdoms represented in Nebuchadnezzar's dream image, Babylon, Iraq, Persia, Iran, broken Grecia, the Eastern European nations, Greece, Turkey, Lebanon, Syria, plus Egypt, and then the fourth kingdom, they are all present at the same time when the stone falls upon the feet and brings down the entire world system. Now, this happens when the nation or nations represented by the fourth kingdom will be in possession of the dominion. Daniel's vision of the four beasts helps us identify the nations of the fourth kingdom. Here's how. We know that the fourth kingdom cannot be Iraq, Iran, Greece, Turkey, Lebanon, Syria, or Egypt, well, because all of these are more clearly identified as belonging to the other three kingdoms that we've seen. That leaves the Western powers, loosely NATO. Now we must go to Daniel 9 to see the connection between all of this and Easter. God offered to restore the kingdom to Israel after the 70-year Babylonian captivity. Daniel saw this as he was reading Jeremiah, and he prophesied that Cyrus would fulfill this promise as Isaiah had also prophesied 170 years before him. However, the people were not spiritually ready to receive this promise, and that's why Daniel was so upset in Daniel chapter 9. God revealed to Daniel that the 70 years would now be turned into 70 weeks of years without the kingdom because the people would not repent. Not as a nation. He revealed that the 70 weeks of years would begin with Cyrus' decree. He revealed that 69 of these weeks would be from Cyrus' decree to the first coming of Messiah, the prince. Okay, now you see we're getting somewhere here. 69 weeks of years, calculated according to the length of a biblical prophetic year of 360 days, places the appearance of Messiah the Prince at the transition time of the kingdom from the third to the fourth kingdom represented in Nebuchadnezzar's dream. At the time Christ was being tempted, Satan boasted that all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them were his to give to whomever he chose. Jesus challenged him on those other two temptations, but he didn't correct him on this one. He simply rejected the offer. Jesus bound the strong man, spoiled his house, took possession of all the power he possessed in the earth. Remember, Satan said, "All this power will I give thee." Well, the word power he used translates that Greek word exousia. It means authority, the right to rule. Now listen, Jesus spoiled principalities and powers on the cross, and one of the principalities Jesus spoiled was the principality of the world. Satan was prince of this world. The angels, remember, were appointed to minister to mankind. That might explain why Satan was down there on the earth. But Satan rebelled against God and sought to take man away from God and subject man to himself. Jesus came to deliver man from Satan's power of darkness. Jesus cast out the prince of this world and broke his power over man when he died on the cross, paying the wages of sin. After his resurrection, Jesus declared, "All power," exousia, "is given unto me in heaven and on earth." It's all his. The word power translates that Greek word exousia. Jesus was given all power, all authority over heaven and earth. Satan was prince over the kingdoms of the earth, but now he's not. Now Jesus is prince of the kings of the earth. Read Revelation 1:5. Satan has been demoted. Jesus cast him out, and now he, that is Satan, is prince of the power of the air. He is the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Read Ephesians 2:1-2. Jesus is the king of the fourth kingdom. Toward the coming of the end of this world, the fourth kingdom will begin to degenerate and become the beast that we read about in Daniel chapter 7. There will be 10 kings aligned together in some sort of federation. At some unknown time, Jesus will remove his disciples from the earth and form them into the assembly of the church of the firstborn with him in the air, and will forever be with him from them forward. At that time, Little Horn, a.k.a. Man of Sin, Son of Perdition, the Beast, the one we call the Antichrist, will attack the fourth kingdom, subduing three of the kings represented by the 10 horns. When he has fulfilled this prophecy, he will boast great things against the God of heaven, and because of that, God will destroy the fourth kingdom. Many miss this. The fourth kingdom does not go into what we call the tribulation. It's destroyed. But the other three are allowed to continue into the time Antichrist rules the earth. The fourth kingdom is destroyed because of the blasphemy, the mouth of Antichrist. The fourth kingdom is not Antichrist. Right now, Christ rules the fourth kingdom, and God will not allow it to become Antichrist. It is destroyed because of the vile, boasting, and arrogant blasphemy of the man of sin against God. Happy Easter. It's by the resurrection that Jesus is declared to be the Son of God with power. Read Romans 1:3. After he arose, he declared, "All powers given unto me in heaven and in earth." Jesus is right now prince over the kings of the earth, declared so by the resurrection. We are kings and priests unto God and ambassadors for Christ, declaring this gospel. Be ye reconciled to God. Repent and believe on Jesus Christ. He has conquered Satan, and you are now free to turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. You can be saved right now. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Confess you are a sinner, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and call upon his name to save you now. I've lit the lamps at Church Belfry Arch. You let me know if you see they're on. You can email me by going to our website, brainmassage.net. Brainmassage.net, find the Contact Us button, click and send. You can leave a message for me on our listener response hotline. Dial 1-805-314-2114. God bless you. God bless America. And I hope to see you in church for Easter. I appreciate all of you who join me here on the Brain Massage Show. If you enjoy the show and find it helpful, please consider supporting our effort. For the cost of a cup of coffee a month, you can be a great encouragement and help to our cause. Go to brainmassage.net and make a one-time donation or set up a monthly gift of whatever amount appropriately fits your budget, what you can do, and it shows your appreciation for the program.
Encounter God. The word encounter means to meet, to experience, to come face to face, to confront. Many encounters are routine happenstances, but even these can have a major impact on our lives. I'm sure each of you listening to this can think of encounters that made a difference in your life. But the greatest life-changing encounter in any life will be those encounters with God that make a difference. Perhaps you've encountered God in the past, but it's been a while since you experienced God in a vital, meaningful encounter. Renew your experience of God with a fresh encounter this year that will impact your life for spiritual growth. Perhaps you've never experienced God, and He doesn't seem real to you. You can encounter God, and when you do, your life will take on new meaning and purpose, and you'll know that God is real. Your next brain massage is scheduled for Saturday at 12 noon and Sunday at 7 a.m.